Okay. Excellent. Okay, we're continuing our discussion of Hachnasas Kala and Simchas Chasim V'Kala. And we're on section G, which is page 7 on my sheet. So we don't have too much more to go. And then we're going to start the next topic today.
Did we get another sheet that I missed? Did we get an email?
Overnight I sent something. I'm sorry, I didn't remember till 12 o'clock. As I was about to go to sleep, I said, oh, I forgot to send it. So G is called Beit Chasanim. So this is only for a Sephardic opinion, but I throw it in just so they know for their good measure. According to some Sephardim, if the meals during the week after wedding do not take place in the house of the groom, one may only make the bracha of a Geffen and Asher Bara, not all the Sheva brachas. According to some Sephardic opinions, but Ashkenazim don't have to worry about that. We make all the brachas. Okay. Hey, now here's an important one. Panim chadoshes, new faces. So when you have these celebratory meals during the week after the wedding, at the end of the benching, we say 7 blessings. But there's a condition that has to be. So we already said a few conditions. One is you got to have a minion. You have to have a minion of people. You have to have 10 males present for the Sheva Brachas. In order to recite all 7 Brachas, one must invite someone who did not attend either the wedding or a previous Sheva Brachas. There's got to be a new face. The simple idea being, a new person brings added joy to the wedding company, as it were. So you need a new face. So, but there's a few, and that's why, again, I'm saying that was never a problem, because in the olden days, there's no way you could make a wedding for a few hundred people. They just didn't have the facility. It just didn't exist. You know, you're doing it outside in the street or whatever, and you invited whoever was there. And, you know, and then the Sheva Brachas were people who were not invited and did not attend. You know, but nowadays, things are a little bit different. There's more possibilities to have more people at weddings. But you have to remember, you have to hold some people back, as it were, or something, it's only to make the Sheva Brachas, to make the blessings. You can still do it. You can have the party and everything and not say the blessings. So it's not the end of the world. Like, people are going to say, oh no, what am I going to do? I got all this stress and all these things. Remember, there's celebrating with the Chasen and Kala. I already said last week, you don't have to have all the celebratory meals during the week. You don't have to. If you do them, that's nice. You have them, you don't have to have a minion of people in order to say all those blessings afterwards. But of course, if you have them, it's nice. So the same thing, you know, if you don't have new faces, you don't have to say the extra blessings either. The idea of enjoying your simcha, and we don't need to bring the halacha in to cause stress in the simchas. But if you do wish to say 7 brachas afterwards, you should have a new face at the wedding, at the Sheva Brachas. However, there are lenient opinions that can be relied on, that even someone who is present at the chuppah, yet was not present for the festive meal, qualifies as a panim chadashus later. If he only was for the chuppah, that's a lenient opinion, only if you really have to come on to that. Okay? So when you're planning your Sheva Brachas, you know, always plan to have some people that maybe aren't that close that they don't get invited to the wedding, and you invite them for the Sheva Brachas. Okay? While some poskim require that the panim chadash be given a setting, proper saying, some others are more lenient. The custom is to be lenient, allow calling in a stranger or waiter to count as panim chadashus. You can really call anybody in right at the end. The panim chadash can come even in the middle or towards the end of the meal. So again, a very acceptable solution is you invite only a handful of people for the formal meal. And then for dessert, you can invite 4 or 5 men to come in, and that makes up your minion to say the Sheva Brachas. So you don't have to. So obviously, the Chasen Kala are going to eat, you know, during the week, and they might want to eat by their parents or by their relatives, whatever. You don't have to have 20 people, 10 men and their wives, let's say, or at the whole meal. You can invite them towards the end of the meal. So that also works out. You can invite a couple neighbors over. Say, I'm making a Sheva Brachas. Can you come over for 20 minutes for some dessert? They have to eat something, obviously. Okay? Now, who cannot be counted as a Panim Chadoshes? A woman cannot be counted as a Panim Chadoshes because you need the 10 required men for the benching, and that only depends on men being there to make the blessings. A child cannot count as Panim Chadoshes. While many poskim hold that Panim Chadoshes means only one new person, some hold that two are required, but we're lenient on that. If you only attend a wedding for a short time and don't eat, let's say you have some people who just come for the dancing, some guys, let's say friends of the chassan, they only came for the dancing, you can't maybe count it as Panim Chadoshes a different night for the Sheva Brachas. Okay? You got that idea? So again, so generally it's best that people who weren't at the wedding at all. The next best is somebody who came for the dancing, and if you're really stuck, someone who's only for the chuppah and not for anything else. But there's no requirement for Panim Chadoshes on Shabbos. So no stress on Shabbos. And the reason is because on Shabbos, everybody gets a new face. Everybody's new. You have an extra soul. So whoever's at the wedding, on Shabbos, there's part of you. That part of you on Shabbos was not at the wedding. And that part is gives extra joy for everybody. So on Shabbos, you don't have to plan on inviting extra guests. Okay, now, the question is, what?
So if you're inviting somebody just for dessert, do they have to wash?
They don't have to. We're gonna, that's the next section here. The next point. We'll see how many. The accepted ruling is that Shevrachas are recited only after a meal of bread, after Berchas Hamazon. Ideally, at least 10 of the attendees should eat bread. However, many poskim allow Shevrachas to be said if only 7 people ate bread. And some even permit Shevrachas to be said if only 3 people ate bread, as long as there's a minion in attendance. Okay, so really, if you're the most lenient, is only 3 men. When I mean people here, I mean men. 3 men have eaten bread is the most lenient. That's really pretty lenient. 7 is a more normative number. So therefore, and if you certainly, so technically, if you have the least amount, 3 people ate bread, and you have 7 people there that didn't eat anything. I mean, you couldn't say the word Elokeinu during the benching, but then you could do it. And if not, but more ideally would probably have 7 men washing and 3 people having dessert. That would be more the more normative way of doing it. And that way you're fine. But certainly the bride and groom should have eaten bread, because if they're not eating bread, that's the main reason why we're making the Sheva Brachas. So, remember, you don't have to eat that much bread to bench. I've been checking this out. You know, you can get very, very small pieces of healthy, whatever you call it. It's only 50 calories. It's exactly 30 grams if you're on a diet, you know, for Shabbos. You just eat that, and that's really, you can do that. Okay. J, mixing the cups. After the blessings have been said, now, when you have the Sheva Brachas, you have the person who's benching, he's benching on a cup of wine. He's benching on a cup of wine. So that stays by him. When you come towards the end of the benching, now you take a second cup of wine, you pass around to 6 people who makes blessings, and when the 6th blessing is finished, it's brought back to the front, then the person who's benching makes the Bracha Bor Priya Gofen, all 7 blessings are done, you have 2 cups of wine. So what do you do next? So after the blessings have been said, pour some wine from the 2 cups into a 3rd cup. You have an empty cup there. Pour some wine from the 2 into the 3rd cup. Pour some wine back from the first, from that cup, now back into the other 2 cups. Why? Because this way you have a mixture of both cups of blessing are thoroughly mixed. Can't do that with 2 cups alone, because once you pour from one, it flows out. So therefore you have a 3rd empty cup, so you pour from the 2 full cups into that cup, and from that cup into these cups, and then the bride, the groom, and the person who was the bencher, who made the bracha berry bracha, and they all drink from these 3 cups. Okay? Note, each cup will contain some wine from each original 2 cups in which the blessings had been made. Okay, good. Second marriages. If both, now it has to be both, if both the chassan and the kala have been previously married, and now it's a second marriage, Shema Bracha is only recited on one day, and that means the wedding. Period. That's it. So sometimes you have people say, oh, we're going to make you Shema Bracha. Nope. Now, if it's first marriage for anybody else, then you could have Shema Brachas, the 7 days. But if they're both remarrying, it's only the wedding, and that's it. Okay, practices during the week after marriage. A chassan is compared to a king, and the kala, a queen. Just like a king wears fancy attire, so too a chassan should wear fancy attire, really the whole week. He should be dressed like a king. If the bride and groom have never been married before, there are 7 days of celebration, which means you don't go to work, you don't say tachanun. If they're at a minyan, you don't say tachanun with them. There's an obligation for them to, if either one was not married before, there has to be 7 days that they're celebrating with each other, and that means not going to work. If both the bride and groom were married before, there's 1 day of Sheva Brachos, we said in Birchas Hamazon, at the meal eaten after the chuppah, but still 3 days of celebration. So second marriage, still for 3 days, they don't go to work, don't say tachanun. Neither husband or wife should go to work. However, if the husband gives his wife permission, she may work. Interesting, but not reversed, because the husband has a stronger obligation to gladden the wife's heart. So if he's going to work, even if the wife says you can go, he should not go to work. He should gladden the wife's heart. If the wife really wants to go to work, she could. Okay? Work that is permitted on Chol HaMoed is also permitted to a groom and bride, which you already said. It means not going to work, but just driving a car or things like that. The prohibitions of work on these days are more lenient than Malach on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, writing is permitted when necessary. Likewise, laundering is also permitted. You may also write words of Torah, even using a computer. It is permitted to do light work that does not take one's mind off the joy of the 7 days of feasting. It is permissible to purchase furniture, whatever they need for their new home. Now, okay, ready? Final issue, counting the 7 days. What? How long, when does the 7 days end? When was the last day of Sheva Brachos? What's the last possible Sheva Brachos you can make? So you have to know when you start the count. So the counting of the 7 days begins with the chuppah. So you have to know when was the chuppah. Therefore, the chuppah was held before sundown. Okay, let's take a simple example. Well, I don't know, simple example. I know when people are getting married now, this used to be Sunday. Now it's not over. Now I think Sunday's even less than any other day of the week. It's Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. Let's just to make it easy. Let's pick a wedding on a Thursday. Okay, wedding on a Thursday. So the chuppah is held before sundown. Let's say in the summertime, and the meal is held at night. So let's say you had the chuppah. This is the extreme example here. So the chuppah was before sundown. The meal was done at night. We count the 7 days from the chuppah and not from the meal. Even if the chuppah was close to sundown, we consider part of the day as a whole day, and it is considered the first day. So therefore, Thursday, Yom Chamishi, is day one. Okay? That's Thursday. So what would the seventh day end? Would be Wednesday. Okay? And Wednesday before sundown. You following me here? So therefore, even though you got married on Thursday, you didn't have the meal till, let's say, Thursday night, but still Thursday is day one. And that makes Wednesday day seven, and that means day seven ends at sunset. So you would not have a Wednesday night Sheva Brachos. You following? So you kind of lose a day, so to speak, on that end. When the chuppah is held at twilight, and you'd be surprised, this happens often. That's why you always try to avoid a chuppah at twilight, for many reasons. But anyway, Bein HaShemashim, we also been counting the 7 days from daylight and not from the night. This is a principle because of Safek Brachas HaHagel. It's going to be doubtful brachas, so we have to be on the strict side. Whenever we have a doubt in a matter of blessings, we are lenient. We don't make brachas, therefore we don't make the Sheva Brachas. So again, even if the wedding is Thursday between sunset and the stars coming out, we still consider Thursday as day one, and therefore Wednesday till nightfall is day 7. Or if the chuppah was 30 minutes after sunset, or at least 25 minutes after sunset, we count the 7 days from the evening. So if the wedding is any time from half an hour after sunset, now Thursday is not day 1. Friday is day 1. Thursday night, Friday, Yom Shishi is day 1. And then Thursday until sunset is day 7. All right? It's all things to think about when you're making a wedding. You know, those are the kind of things you want to say. What time is the wedding? Always try to make sure that the wedding is clearly on one side of twilight or the other. At least the chuppah, the actual chuppah, should start and finish before sunset, or start and finish after the stars come out. So when you're planning the wedding, look at the Jewish calendar, look at the zmanim, and plan it accordingly. Because then you just get into, not you can't do it otherwise, but it gets a little trickier, as you see from over here. Okay, on the seventh day of the 7 days of feasting, one may only recite the Shav Brachos until sunset alone. Right, same idea. Even if the meal was in the daytime, one may not even recite them during Ben Hashemesh. So again, if you have this cutoff date is Wednesday, so let's say it's the summertime. Well, we can go the whole Wednesday. So the sun doesn't set till 9 o'clock. Okay, so you technically can have a Shav Brachos at 7 o'clock. But you have to make sure that you've got to start the Shav Brachos, the blessings, before the sun sets, even though you started before. Now, when the seventh day of the 7 days of feasting falls on Shabbos, when does that happen? If the wedding was on a Sunday. Now let's flip it to a Sunday. Wedding was clearly on a Sunday, middle of the day, whatever, Sunday, that's day 1. Day 7 is Shabbos. Okay, so now how far does day 7 go? When does day 7 end being Shabbos? So on the seventh day of the 7 day, and the meal of Shev is made at Shalosh Shudas, so now you're coming to the end of Shabbos, and it can be going past. And the meal continues after sundown on account of the mitzvah of adding on to Shabbos, even though you're obligated to recite Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu in benching. Nevertheless, the brachos of Shavuos are not to be recited after the sun sets. So if you're doing a Shabbos Sheva brachos, and that's the seventh day, and your Shalosh Shudas is extending into the night, even though every time we do that, we say Ritzei, even though Shabbos is technically over, we haven't said Avdallah, we would still not make the Sheva Bracha. So if you want to be able to, you would want to finish benching before sundown in order to be able to say the Sheva Brachos. Okay? And that ends this topic of Hachnosas Kal, Simchas Kal. Any questions? We're good on that? Okay. So I'm going to...